there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Dr. Jay Morgan, the president of Morehead State University. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Leanne. Great to be with you.
Morehead State University is planning the end of the spring semester. It's been a different year. There's been some adversity dealing with the pandemic. But the leadership here is planning a return to normal or something that resembles normal in the fall semester, with increasing classes that are going to be offered in person and going back to capacity at the dorms. Let's talk about a little bit about what the turning point is for those decisions. I know the COVID vaccine availability has had something to do with that, but how do you plan for a fall semester with still a little uncertainty still existing with the pandemic?
I'm kind of picking up on the word that you used a few minutes ago, and that it's been a quote-unquote different year. And I think everyone would agree that the past year has been challenging, although I think our campus has risen to that challenge and our people have risen to the challenge. As much as we would like to have not had to deal with COVID, our campus did, in my opinion, extremely well. Kind of back to where we're going, and lots of people like to say, are we going back to normal? I'm not quite for sure, Leanne, what normal looks like going forward. And I think most people would agree, and everybody has a different a definition of what normal looks like. The way I've phrased it is, we would really like to see Morehead State University trend closer back to normal. I'm going to stop just a little bit short of saying fall of 2021 is going to be absolutely perfect and we're completely back to what we might remember and on our campus in years gone by. But I think we're moving towards something that's a whole lot better than where we have been over the past 12 months or so. Related to that, this spring, I think you're aware we're going to have a what I've kind of termed an old-timey outdoor commencement ceremony. You don't see those much anymore, but we're going to return to that in May. Summer's going to look pretty normal, or as normal as possible, with summer camps and a couple of meetings on campus, be some summer courses, both on and off campus. And then in the fall, our goal is to move back toward roughly the same percent of in-person courses that we saw pre-pandemic. So from that aspect of a return to normal, we're trying to get there with our number of classes being in person, somewhere around 68, 70, 71% is a broad range there. What we do not know if it will be back to normal or not. Our definition of normal is, you know, CDC may still request that we wear masks and do some other protocol type things too. So that's a little bit of the hedge there of saying closer back to normal.
I feel like there are some things that have happened that have been really positive in the pandemic, and we don't really want to return to normal for everything. So a few things are kind of nice to have. I do like the fact that there are so many outdoor spaces on campus.
I would agree with you as well. You know, as I look outside, the spring rains have turned, our campus looks beautiful. The trees are blooming. There's one unique thing. We have picnic tables all over campus. Mm-hmm. And even here in our kind of our main area, what we might call the quad, you know, I see students sitting out there, not just for lunch, but breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and all points in between. I was actually here on campus 7 or 8 o'clock the other last weekend, and students were sitting outside on the picnic tables in the evening on a weekend. So you're right, they're getting outside more. I'm seeing students walk, maybe even approaching this as a, you know, healthy type environment, not from a COVID aspect, but getting out and walking some. They're riding bikes. Seems like they're finding things to do with physical activity outside. And that part, I hope, is here to stay. So I
Yeah.
believe you're right.
Now, some of the students have been thriving with the new ways that classes are set up. Online classes for some students work really great, but there are other students who are struggling with hybrid or online classes. It's just not for them. Tell me a little bit about what's being done to help those students be more successful.
I think we all would agree, going back to about a year ago, that the very abrupt turn to online slash hybrid courses was a tough turn for our whole country. It was for our campus, it was for our faculty, staff, and students. I think, Leanne, some students have gotten used to it. Some students who were taking online courses pre-pandemic never even saw a change. They just kind of went on with what, they were normally used to. I think it's that category of students that's on our campus and on every campus, that category of learners that just does better in class. And I think they do well on our campus because we have small faculty to student ratios for our classes. Our classes are relatively small, they're personable. Our faculty who are teaching them, our instructors, are very engaging in an in-person environment. And some of our students had a tough time, with the absence of that. What I think we're trending toward going forward, particularly starting in the fall, is that move back to a higher percentage of in-person classes. But one thing we're going to do unique is we're going to try to keep our class sizes very, very small. So the concept is more in-person classes to help that student who does better in person with in-person learning, what we would might call traditional learning. But we're going to make a very, very strong effort to keep our class sizes small, 17, 18, 20, 24, and really cut down some of those larger class sizes. So I think from a student success feature going forward, those students who just didn't like or didn't do well during this online learning period in our life will hopefully get back to what they can call student success and more normal for them. So
I've seen
I
educators
think.
at all levels, K through 12 and higher education, talk about the impact of class size. I mean, it's something that's been debated for quite some time, but I've seen a big outcry, especially on social media, from educators talking about how smaller class sizes really change the dynamic of the classroom.
I'm 100% in agreement. And as you know, our university, our campus is known for being a smaller to medium-sized university. We like that feel, suits us very well. And our class sizes are traditionally small. We're moving to make them even a little bit smaller. And that's a different direction than a lot of other universities are going, where they're looking for more efficiency. I think we all agree, and most people would, that smaller class sizes are just better learning environments. And regardless of whether you're a really strong student or a student that needs some extra help along the way, I really think that small class size really brings out the student success features. That's where we're going in the future. And that's proven really in our numbers as well. I think a few years ago, our faculty to student ratio was about 1 to 19. We have moved that down as simply as a ratio to where we're sitting at about 1 to 16 right now. And that's, Leanne, over hundreds, if not thousands, of courses per year. So that move of keeping the classes 18, 19, up to about 25, 6, 7 is a real nice feel for our campus. Now we'll have some sections of courses, that are larger than that. Any campus is going to do that, but we're making a conscious effort to keep our classroom cap sizes as low as possible, and we think that's going to pay off in student success.
Now, I know this is the time of year where budget planning is in the works, and I know that there isn't anything set in stone until the Board of Regents approves the budget. I do want to talk a little bit about some of the things that are currently being proposed for the next fiscal year.
Sure. Well, every spring we go through kind of that traditional proverbial budget process. Our budget year, our fiscal year, starts July 1. Most governmental organizations in Kentucky do the same, so we're very similar to them. You know, the large part of our budget, Leanne, as you're very well aware, is made up of personnel. And so there's not a lot of wiggle room. You know, every year we move around some operational money. We look at what the initiatives for next year will be. Those have been a little bit hard to identify because we're still dealing with, you know, the frustrations of COVID, but we are looking forward to next year and what maybe we want to push on. We have really highlighted, at least at this point in time, budgetarily, a big focus on recruitment, student scholarships, additional student scholarships for next year, recruitment for next year, and our quality enhancement plan, what we would call our QEP in short. So those are three or four things that we're really lifting up at this point. We're looking pretty good from a budget standpoint. I like to just broadly use the term we're at a good point where we're stable. Many colleges and universities have had a tough year, and from a financial standpoint, we've been really blessed of where we are. We don't have gold, you know, buried over here in the side of a hill, but we are in a good place right now. We're using some of our stimulus dollars this spring from a variety of sources, and those funds have come from the U.S. Department of Education. They've come from the governor's office here. They've come from CPE, several other organizations. They have flowed through. We're spending a lot of those dollars on mental health for students, additional mental health for students. We are buying new furniture for two or three of our residence halls. So we're trying to invest some of those one-time dollars there. But we're also having to spend a lot of our stimulus dollars on just coping with COVID. Plexiglass, you know, all these signs that you've seen around campus, picnic tables, tents outside, lowering our cap sizes, buying laptops for people so they can work a little bit you know, away from campus during this time.
Mm-hmm.
So all that put together, we've moved through this year very well. I think we're going to enter next fiscal year, fall of 21, very well. It all hinges on enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
And every fall, you know, we watch enrollment on a weekly basis. We look at reports of how we're trending, and enrollment is so important to us. It's about 70% of our total revenue for the university. And 15 years ago, it was only about 30%
right.
of our total
right.
revenue. So that equation is literally flip-flopped in about 15 years or so. And it's a tough one to manage, but we're doing very well. And I think we're going to have a nice stable budget for next year.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Doug Chatham, host of the comedy music program Odd Numbers. Join me on WMKY 90.3 FM at 9 p.m. this Friday and 4 p.m. this Saturday for a special travel episode, including Truck Driving Song by Weird Al Yankovic, Howdy from Maui by Jeff Foxworthy, and Star Trekking by The Firm. That's Odd Numbers at 9 p.m. Friday and 4 p.m. Saturday on Morehead State Public Radio.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Dr. Jay Morgan, the president of Morehead State University. Thanks again for spending time with us.
Thank you, Leanne.
We're talking a little bit about the outlook for the next fiscal year. I know that there were all eyes were on Frankfurt for this legislative session. It was a short session, but things were so different because of COVID. And lawmakers in Frankfurt did make some changes that will impact the university. Let's talk a little bit about the changes to the Kentucky teachers' retirement system and how that impacts the university.
Sure. There were really two things that we were watching, Leanne, through the spring General Assembly related to the teachers' retirement system. The first one is or was an administrative regulation change. That happened on or took effect for April 1 of this spring, so just a few weeks ago, actually. And that was not a legislative change, that was an administrative regulation change on how our faculty and staff who are in the TRS system have their retirement annuity calculated. It's a very intricate equation that the system uses in Frankfurt, so we'll go down into to depth there. So that did cause a few of our faculty and staff to go ahead and try to retire this spring so they could meet that deadline. Mm-hmm. The second item related to the teacher's retirement system that was a legislative change is that going forward, so from this point on with new hires, and this is only for new hires coming to MSU, starting January the 1st, 2022, new hires coming to us who select KTRS or the TRS pension system for their retirement package will go into what's called a new tier of categories with KTRS, and it will be calculated a little bit different going forward. And that, again, there's a lot of in-depth features there that probably would confuse people if we went too deep into it. It is a little bit of a broader plan. It is based off the individual building an account with the TRS system that's actuarially funded from the very beginning, but there is no change on current employees that we have on campus who are in the TRS system. So only for new employees starting January 1, 2022.
Mm-hmm. I know it's hard to keep up with all that, and a lot of people are a little overwhelmed by it. But this, does this affect the budgeting dollars for the university, or just more of the individual coming in?
Most of it is the individual coming in, starting this coming January 1st. There is very little change on the university. Probably the biggest change is keeping up, or the university keeping up, in our human resource department and payroll and so forth with all the various tiers. Each of the state retirement plans have various tiers of individuals who have different contribution rates from an employer and an employee standpoint. Keeping up with those for, you know, a workforce our size can be a, you know, a little bit difficult. Nevertheless, the employee will see a little bit of change. Those are new employees. The employer with this new tier will see a very small change as well, in that some of the contribution rates are different. Mm-hmm. So kind of an accounting nightmare.
Right. I'd say, well, speaking of dollars and cents, I did want to touch base with you about one of the first campaigns that you announced when you first came to Morehead State University was the Soar to New Heights Scholarship Campaign. And the goal, yes, at the time was to raise $15 million over 3 years that would go directly to student scholarship. And that three-year mark is about 6 months out. But where are we standing on that fundraising effort at this time?
Well, we've done quite well. I wish we didn't have the past 6 or 8 months of, you know, this deep, dark depths of COVID to have contended with related to our campaign. But yes, in almost 3 years ago, and it will be 3 years this October of 2021, that our campaign will not come to a close. We're going to continue to raise money even after this fall for scholarships for students. About 2.5 years ago, we created a campaign, as you mentioned, to raise $15 million. That was our goal. We wanted to do so very quickly so we could put dollars and cents in the students' pockets and make higher education even more affordable. Related to that, we are sitting right on the cusp of completing that campaign and that goal. We actually have a couple of things that we're working with donors right now that puts us right where we need to be. Leanne, I'm hopeful in the fall when we make a big announcement that we have reached the goal, that we even further announce that we're going to continue to raise more money for scholarships. I don't think our success in scholarship fundraising should stop just because it's October 2021 and the end of that three-year campaign. I hope we can turn around and continue to raise more money. We have raised money for things other than scholarships, but our emphasis has been scholarship, scholarship, scholarship.
That student-centered approach is kind of different than some of the bigger research-based universities around, and really for a smaller regional university, kind of making higher education more accessible to students is really, it really affects each individual student in a way that can be life-changing.
It can. You know, our university is known to have a tuition structure that is not quite as expensive that as you would see at other regionals and certainly other large land grant or research universities. So just from the beginning, our university is more affordable. When you put that added extra emphasis, like we've tried to do over the past couple of years, of more scholarship money, either through donor-raised scholarship or university-provided scholarships, and we've done both, you really get to a point to where it significantly advantages our students here. And we can't go through campus and say, you know, this student specifically, but when you look at the aggregate, it really layers in a very nice feature for us. And I think some of that is seen in, you know, our retention rates going up about 6%, and our graduation rates are beginning to tick up, and it's just a nice feature, and it creates a nice climate on our campus, i.e. it's good for students. We're in the business of what's good for students.
Mm-hmm. Now, it has been a busy spring for Morehead State University Athletics, with both the men's basketball team and the volleyball team competing in the NCAA tournament. Let's talk a little bit about how that success on the court impacts the university.
Well, I've joked a little bit with our academic staff members and some of our coaches that, and I say this a little tongue-in-cheek, we need another year of COVID if we're going to do this well athletically. I say that humorously, so I hope no one takes that seriously. We have had a very nice track record of success, both on campus related to academics this year. A lot of good rankings have come out around individual academic programs, and we've also done very well on the court, so to say. Basketball, men's basketball this year was, I believe, 17-3 as a conference record. Obviously went on to win the OVC championship and even gave West Virginia a real good run in the NCAA tournament. So a lot of success there. Our volleyball, our ladies volleyball team had almost a no-lose season. I believe they lost one right at the end. So phenomenal there, won the OVC. Great group of ladies there. Rifle placed second in the region this year and just barely lost for the first place team. So a lot of good success there. Baseball's been winning some games against some really good teams. Football has won the past couple of games as well. So we're just having a really good year during the middle of COVID from an athletic standpoint. So I hope this continues. We've got a good set of coaches right now who are doing some really good things both on and off the field. So I hope our audience at some point will be able to come out and watch a baseball game or a football game or softball game or soccer game or otherwise this spring.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Dr. Jay Morgan, president of Morehead State University, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Leanne. Always great to visit with you.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Morehead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.